This is Infection, the survival podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, January the 24th, 2023, episode 419. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome into another edition of Infection, the survival podcast. Infection is your source for the latest in weekly video game news. We cover various things in that industry, plus a little bit of political twist here and there. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig, or check out our website, infectionpodcast.com. Joining me as he does each and every week, Brian with an I, Aldridge. Brian, good afternoon, good evening. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing very well, and hopefully everyone else had a good weekend. But if you want to get a hold of me on the internet, you can do that through Twitter, at Boys to Computer. But all the rest of the places, at Brian Aldridge on Gab, Parler, Getter, Truth Social. Of course, if you want to check out my blog, biteoftech.com. But the easiest way to get a hold of us is just go to infectionpodcast.com and go to the right-hand side where it says join our server on Discord. And if you do that, you can send messages directly to us through there. That's an easy way to do it. But we also have a news channel that topics you think we're missing, something we should be covering. Maybe there's something that you think is important. Toss a link to it in that channel, and you'll be able to be a part of the show. You know, we reviewed that before the live show, and actually I've been putting a lot of links in there lately, kind of things that we're going to be talking about. So if you want a preview of what we might discuss in the show, that's a good place to do it, because I've been using it as a link catcher for things that I see when I'm out on the road or whatever I'm doing. If you want to play some ARK, we got 11 ARK servers running, and we got a Conan Exiles server running as well. So if you're looking to get some gaming in over the weekend, just jump into our Discord and get links for those. If you want to watch the live show, you can do that through Twitch or YouTube. And of course, you can always listen to the show at the lower right-hand side, a lot of different platforms for that, but those are recorded and uploaded after the fact. So if you're wanting to watch live, jump into one of the video forums. If you're going to listen to it, maybe on a mobile device as you're working or you're driving, go to the lower right-hand side, lots of links. And if you are listening, that means that the show notes for that particular episode are already up on the website. There's a video and audio player built right into that, and there's also links for all the different things that we discuss. So source material, whatever it is, maybe it's a video or something, we put the links in there. And that way, if you are listening, you can always go and check out some of the things that maybe we're showing on the screen that you're missing. It's just got a nice little addendum to the show. And also for the support tab, if you want to support us in any way, there's a support option up top or infectionpodcast.com/support.
Yes, there is a couple great ways that you can stay in touch with the program. I'll note this, we have a lot of news, but you mentioned using Discord as kind of your link catcher. For my day job, I'm constantly bookmarking articles and saving articles, and I exclusively do that through Discord. I have multiple channels, private channels set up. And based on the topic and what it is, I just dump the link from my phone into that channel. Phenomenal. And it's free. I'll say this. Brian, you know how cheap I am. I won't pay for things. If Discord was going to charge me $5 a month for my private server, hands down, not even a question. It is the most use. Discord is the most, from my vantage point, one of the most useful cross-platform apps that has ever existed. It is truly cross-platform.
Well, one thing, hey, and if they ever do start charging, what we can do is just, we'll put you a private channel that only you see, and you can just toss links in there all day long.
Oh, I don't know. Then you'd be able to see them. I don't know that I can't be tipping you off.
Well, that's true. I am the admin, so.
I can't be tipping you off to any of my content. You'd be stealing my
Well, I always figured that might be an option as we look at support options, that may be a feature, because we do have some things that are the people that are subscribers can see, but maybe eventually we'll have it to where all those links you can see if you're a sub or whatever it is. That's always an option. But I think I'll keep tossing those links in there because it makes it to where people can maybe get some input before the live show. Mm-hmm. So if they want to have a little discussion about it, then we can incorporate that into our show as well.
Brian, I want to start off with something real quick that is that just kind of popped up today. Just a couple of hours ago, that the Rick and Morty creator Justin Roiland has, according to a post on the Adult Swim Twitter account, he has been officially removed from the show. This spans back to a domestic violence charge. I want to be clear with that, a charge, not a conviction, not a guilty plea, a charge. And now he has been fired from the show. So that's kind of all. I just saw that on Twitter as we were coming on the air. So, another.
And that's kind of crazy, because if you look, he is the two main voices of the
yes.
show.
Yeah, just marginally important, I guess you could say. This is their
tone. And those voices that he does are not easily replaceable, because they're very unique voices. They say Rick and Morty will continue, but I just...
Well, you know what pisses me off?
I bet you they'll finish the season, but I bet you they won't continue to season 8.
I don't know. I'll say this. It really, really gripes my ass that somebody being charged with something is just means that you're fired.
Yeah.
Like the whole idea.
I don't know the circumstances behind it at all. I mean, that's the thing is.
Of course, nobody does. By the way, this is from May of 2020.
A spouse who's angry could say all kinds of things.
But let's be clear. This is not years. This didn't happen yesterday. It became public a couple of weeks ago. This happened in May. He's produced 3 seasons since then. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. It's this constant moral outrage over whatever. I read the stories that he's accused of some domestic charges with somebody, with a name is, Jane Doe, who were dating at the time. But I'm a big proponent of innocent until proven guilty, but that is well gone in our society at this point. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of fallout on that this week. So there you go.
And they just released that High on Life game, which is, really popular right now on Xbox. My wife played it, and it was made by them, yep. And he's a voice in that. It makes you wonder, if he does get found guilty, are they going to cancel him and start removing his voice and character from all these different things?
They have to remove Rick and Morty, which they're not going to, because it is a cash. And see, this is where you can tell, and this is where the moral dilemma from their standpoint comes in. Rick and Morty is one of the most profitable, successful shows on television. They won't do anything to the past catalog, because there's just too much money in the streaming rights and the licensing. So they're not going to do anything, which is always what it comes down to, right? It's easy to say, in the future, you can't be part of it. Well, but yeah, but you're right, Brian. What about the old catalog? What about all that old stuff? So keep
that's
an eye
on that.
That's
what they've done to some people, is just cancel them and try to remove every piece of history that they have. Well, if this comes out to be true, let's see if they actually do that, or money wins overall.
Yeah, money will win over, because that's how it works. So we'll keep an eye on that this week. I'm sure there'll be a lot of stuff coming up next week. Brian, there is a lot of rumblings, and we talked about this on our Christmas episode, of an economic downturn, and the industry that seems to be getting just absolutely hammered right now is the tech and video game industry. And there's a lot of gaming and tech companies that are doing mass layoffs. Yeah.
Yep. Well, and this is something that I talked about. I think I talked about it a number of weeks ago, because this is something we discuss in my job, because people will look at these companies, and they were doing, during COVID, they were doing mass hiring at a lot of these places, because, for instance, Microsoft saw Teams as a big thing, and so they started hiring all these people. Amazon said, people are going to stay home and order all these products, and started mass hirings and offering wages that were way higher than what the wages currently were at the time, like normal wages. And so people will say, well, why don't we have all these really aggressive wages that we try to offer at our company? And the exact reason they said is because we don't sit there and chase these things, we don't do layoffs. The problem is, now that the economy is starting to downturn, they can't continue to pay all these really high wages and hire all these extra people. So they have to fire a ton of people, because the economy is so bad right now. And you're seeing this. San Francisco, this video game company, 284. Microsoft, 10,000. Riot Games, 46. Google, 12,000 being laid off.
That's
Vox
crazy.
Media.
12,000
employees. And wow. These are not just small little employees. These are large, like people that are making $1 million a year employees. These are people that have been there for 30 years employees. Yeah. So these are some big things happening. GameSpot. It's hitting, you know, media as well. GameSpot, Giant Bomb, they're having layoffs. Washington Post shut down their whole gaming division.
Oh, Christ, how will we go on?
I know. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do with it. But, you know, this is the thing is Microsoft, 10,000 employees, that's, if I remember correctly, it was like 6% of the workforce or something like that.
It's not that big.
No, but they're laying off. One thing is you're seeing some of these places, they're canceling all their VR stuff. Yeah. You know, they're getting rid of divisions that they're realizing were pet projects or that they aren't really going anywhere. Because how long has VR been going somewhere, supposedly?
Well,
we've been watching this kind of, well, you know, a little bit of VR here, a little bit of VR there, but it's just not taking off in the way I think that they were hoping.
Well, the Oculus from Meta is the real device that is the consumer device. I know Meta, they've got, Meta's whole VR thing is now just exclusively for the military. Their HoloLens is essentially owned by the federal government now. So they're enriching themselves with that, which is fine. I'm not sure that Microsoft needs to play in that public space anyway.
Their severance for this, all these employees, it's $1.2 billion that's going to cost them for all the severance
packages. Yeah, I'm sure. Which, and it's crazy to think that the severance package is a better deal than keeping these people employed. But you know, you bring up a really great point that when the economy was in, I'm going to say red hot, but it wasn't really. Booming is a great word.
They were seeing money, right?
They were seeing money because it was all fake. Exactly. Everything was being influxed with cash, and these companies, as you mentioned, just hired gangbusters. Everybody was getting a job. Everybody was getting ridiculously high salaries. But now things have come back to some semblance of normalcy, not completely. And now you're seeing the ramifications of this. You know, these massive layoffs. It's Snapchat, Salesforce, Amazon, not TikTok. They're a Chinese company, but a lot of these big tech firms.
TikTok going strong.
I'm sure. Meta is cutting 11,000 jobs as well. There's just a lot of this cutting going on, and it is exactly what many folks have been warning about for some time, and it's likely going to have an impact on the video game industry. You mentioned Riot and many others.
Well, okay, and what was a little bit of a lead into this was the housing market, because here we had the most ridiculous housing market I think in the whole country. And I'm not exaggerating by saying where I live was the number one place that people were moving last year. And in the housing market here was ridiculous. Houses that should be $200,000+ were going for $1 million here. And so now, if you turn around and look, there's a house across the street, you know, down the road a little ways that listed days too late, days too late, because everything was selling within a day up until just one day it stopped here. And I don't know what triggered it, but all of a sudden it stopped. And then they listed that house 2 days later, thinking that they were going to be in on this big boom that was happening. The thing is still up for sale when everything was selling overnight before. And the prices, people are listing these houses and nothing is selling. So they're, you know, that was an indicator to me, you know, things are changing. And now people all of a sudden are backing out. There's tons of houses that are being sold by the developers because everybody's backing out. And now people are losing their jobs. It's going to have a trickle effect, a huge trickle effect on a lot of different areas. For this, our company hasn't been able to hire people. We've been trying to hire people like crazy. But because of the artificial rates and the money that people were seeing, they didn't want to go for a normal salaried job. Because they figure, well, I can go try to work for, you know, Meta. I could go try to work for Google, and they're going to offer to pay me this super high rate that no one else, or Salesforce. We have a headquarters, one of the buildings for Salesforce here. You know, they'll offer a much higher rate than normal, and that's something that the boss, you know, here at our location has just said. He says, you know what, because we're not sitting there trying to keep up with those guys, guess what? You're going to keep your job. You're not going to get fired. We're not going to lay people off at this company. And he was 100% right, because those people are all losing their jobs and wishing that they had one that was a little more stable at the moment.
Yeah.
So, and it's sad for the people, but Matt, look at all the people that were quitting and just trying to, you know, that were doing all these casual quittings and figuring they're walking onto other jobs all the time. Like that was a big thing in the last 2 years. People not being faithful to their companies.
And it is very unfortunate that this is all going on. But we knew this was going to happen. That's what's so frustrating is this is not a surprise. This is not a, oh my gosh, I can't believe this has happened. No, we knew this was coming. And this is, it is one of the, on a broader scale, one of the indicators of an economy that is, on a tailspin downwards. And this is where you're seeing the first pinch. You talked about the housing market and the tech industry. Yep. Those are the two that are getting and the mortgage industry is getting hammered right now because who the hell's buying a house at 9.5% interest rate? So it's just it's really tough for a lot of folks. I know a couple people personally that have lost their jobs in relation to those two industries. It's brutal. There was a tech firm here called Encino, which is a banking. They make banking software for fintech companies. They announced last week they were laying off 1,200 people. So I mean, it's a lot.
Yep.
So it's it sucks.
If you look at what Phil Spencer, you know, Phil Spencer's came out and said, it sucks. Pretty much equivalent. It sucks that this is happening. But you know what? For the long term good of the company, this is necessary. And these type of companies, when they're trying to find that next thing, chase, you know, whatever it is that they can chase and be the first to market on, they'll throw people at it. Well, when you're throwing people at different projects and problems, those people are eventually not going to be needed anymore, or it's going to be something that's too expensive to maintain. Because they realized, just like Meta realized, that was a big waste of money that they were doing with all this metaverse stuff. Then they had to let all those people go because it was going to bankrupt the company. If these companies try to keep all these people on, and this is where we talked about last week. Remember, we were talking about these unions and how they were trying to hold hostage this company and saying, we demand this, we demand that. That's the silly thing is, what are you going to do? How are you going to hold these? You're either going to take the company out of business. Now, there's a reason that all these liberal companies, I mean, these are some of the more liberal companies, are laying people off. They're not holding to this we love unions talk, are they?
No, of course
because
not.
Because they know that for them to stay in business, they have to let these people go. Because the money's not coming in. All these, whatever they were doing to bring in all this money or to convince people that there was a good to the end of whatever they were spending this on is gone. The economy is in the toilet, thanks to Joe Biden, who most of these companies supported.
Oh, absolutely. Right? And their employees supported like 95%. Yeah.
Yeah. So those 12,000 Google employees, who probably 95% of them, you know, maybe that's a little high, but of them supported Joe Biden, they can thank him for the fact that they're now looking for a different job and living on their severance package for a little while. Same thing with the Microsoft employees, where if you look at the voting percentage of the district that those employees live in, most of them are voting for the guy who eventually has helped take their job. So that's where I look at this and it's just, when will you see the things that you're supporting because you think it's just, you know, it's what everybody wants you to do? Like, just as I said before, I didn't pursue working at Google longer because I didn't want to be subject to the liberal not being able to ever say my opinion or having to worry that they'll figure out, you know, I'm a closeted libertarian.
No,
being scared that they would know that I'm a libertarian. And then being treated differently or losing my job because of it. That's something that concerned me. And I didn't want to be put in a position where I felt like I was always having to be on the defense or worrying that, just like the person that we had talked about from Limited Run Games, you know, losing your job if someone figured out that, oh, I didn't vote Democrat. You know, I'm a bad guy. That's my problem.
Yeah. I will note it. It's kind of funny to read this Kotaku article while you were talking. I was skimming through this Kotaku article about the Washington Post shutting down their gaming section amid wider layoffs. And, you know, you read the first little bit and there's some stuff there. And then it goes, what's a fourth or fifth paragraph? Bezos, who is worth over $100 billion, bought the Washington Post back in 2013 for just $250 million. His yacht is rumored to cost twice as much. Despite a boom in paid subscribers during the chaos-filled Trump years, managers at the paper have reportedly been in disagreements over how to expand and grow in the years ahead. This prompted an in-person visit from Bezos last week, where he maintained he was fully committed to the paper and just there to listen, which, by the way, he announced like 2 days ago that he was looking at selling the Washington Post to buy an NFL team. Because if he's got any if he's got any common sense, he'll get out of this industry. So it's just amazing to see how quickly it turns from Jeff Bezos, who we love, because he is the progressive of all progressives. He's turned the Washington Post into a complete and total rag for the Democrat Party. But now that the gaming division is laid off because it's not making money, burn him at the stake, Brian. It's the only solution.
Yeah, I know. He's such a jerk. we have somebody... Grizzard on YouTube, he says, the woke narrative is turning. They are digging in hard, though. They would rather everything crash than back off, he says, or maybe that's their real goal. Do you want to talk a little bit about an example of that here that we've been seeing? So there's a television series that's been put out that's kind of in the world of Scooby-Doo. Velma is what it's called.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo, real hot right now, right? Everybody's everybody's jonesing for their hot Scooby-Doo. The last thing I know of Scooby-Doo was that weird live-action movie in the early 2000s that I watched when I was a kid. Yeah. You know the one I'm talking about?
I mean, that wasn't horrible,
last time I watched it, I was probably like seven, but I thought that was the last Scooby-Doo thing that followed, was popular.
But there's Scooby-Doo released all the time. Every year there's a new Scooby-Doo cartoon put out. There's a regular set of Scooby-Doo coming out. And the problem is, like, that movie, it kept to the characters. If you remember correctly, a year or maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, they announced that Velma was going to be gay, you know, because she doesn't have, she's not feminine, and she's never has been, really. She was the tomboy of the show. Yeah. So, of course, she was gay. So, I have a Polygon article, you know, because they love tech. And here's the title. Velma puts the girls and their queerness front and center. And this is this is early on when they released it. And so I just figured, I've seen clips, but I've seen clips of it.
Just look at Mindy Kaling's Velma is here. It's queer. And anyone refusing to get used to it should be prepared to be mocked in promo trailers. Like, this is how you open your article.
Okay. So let's see. So anyone refusing to get used to it. How about we look at what their current ratings are on Rotten Tomatoes? Do you want to pull up some Rotten Tomatoes? The audience score is currently 6%, one of the lowest scores that you can get on Rotten Tomatoes that you can find. The critic rating, which usually is very open to this sort of thing, 47% currently.
Not great.
You know, and that's with... What Will Trent over there? He loves 100% tomatoes. Is what he gave it. This is something.
No, this is a different show. New TV.
Oh, is that for TV now? Okay, I'm just saying.
Is that a show?
If you can get it, that, I don't know. I thought he was doing it for this for new TV.
No, maybe you're right.
Oh, okay, so that's something different. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I think he gave it.
Oh,
under that list.
Sorry, Will Trent is a show.
Oh, okay, that's a show. I thought it was a guy.
So did I. No. Okay, it's not.
So. Okay, so I don't know who voted for this then, you know, to get it up to 47%. But if you look at the show, do you want to play the trailer there? There's a little trailer there, and you can get a hint of, I don't know if you want to bother. There was one on that page.
On the Rotten Tomatoes
page? I didn't put it in our show notes. Sorry. Yeah, right there, there was a video you could play right on the front of the Rotten Tomatoes on the upper left.
I see that, yes. Hold on a second. Yeah, let me. Here we go. Here's the.
I don't know if there's.
Here's. Gonna be here's the trail. It's long. So we'll just play a minute.
Well, we'll just play a little bit of it. I mean, I don't want to put you through.
My name is Velma Dinkley, and I've decided to finally share the bone-chilling events that drove me to assemble the greatest team of spooky mystery solvers ever.
This on is brand.
Okay, so the guy on the left.
My way. Dissing her,
She has no brain!
And it starts with a murder. When I see something, I wish if I can't convince people I didn't kill Brenda, I'm going to be arrested.
That's Shaggy.
But I also know how to find out who did kill
That's
Brenda.
That's Shaggy?
I think it has something
That's Shaggy, because, you
drugs,
know, they needed to have my minority hate. Representation in the show, so.
Wow.
Hey, Fred.
That's Shaggy.
It's Velma from school.
I have a disease where I can't recognize people who aren't hot.
Is it called rudeness?
I have an illness!
Hey, Daphne. I need a favor. Why would I do that? We're not friends anymore.
Now,
we're nemesis.
That is, I don't remember her, Daphne, but she, remember, she was not Asian, so they made her Asian. Just wanted to change it up.
It's because it's a ghost.
Jinkies!
Maybe it's one of those doors where you push in a brick and it opens.
Fred, wait!
I have a plan.
I love danger. Have more success with this if you went in just a little less judgy.
Okay, Daphne, I'm the brains of this operation. You're just the look, style, and effortless charm.
We do make a good team, don't we?
Here we go.
In this day and age, you can't speculate about someone's sexuality unless they're famous or Peppermint Patty.
Feel a bit muddy.
Muddy? Oh, sorry, I'm not a drunk on the verge of losing custody like every other woman solving murders these days.
All right, so let me say this, just being objective. The trailer's not bad. I mean, the trailer is, it's but seemingly, they, but, yeah. But hold on. The trailer is seemingly on brand. The beginning, oh, they're solving murders and mysteries. You get a couple of your little jabs in there, here and there, you know, about the whole sexuality thing. And yes, there's no argument on the now every person in Scooby-Doo is now a different race and different skin color because, you know, God knows whatever reason that is. But obviously, that's not what a representation of the show, because if it was,
no,
people would
not
actually be watching it, because Scooby-Doo is, I mean, again, I'm not a Scooby-Doo expert, but was objectively very popular. I mean, it was an incredibly popular cartoon, and according to you, Brian, still is. A lot of people, they're still making new stuff with it. Yep. So if this was a Scooby-Doo, you know, 21st century whatever, fine, but it obviously is not. And as Grizzed notes in the chat, it is the lowest rated show ever on IMDb.
Yep. Yeah.
The lowest.
And the thing is,
ever.
Is that okay? Yeah. So ever. There we go. One thing I ran into is if you look at, because I was watching a number of things about this, and the things that she says, like, they don't show it in that trailer, but she's sitting there just saying super woke stuff throughout the show and knocking people, talking about, you know, being gay and just sexuality and jokes about sexualizing teens, you know, just all the things that you would assume from a super, super liberal show are in this. And of course, they try to hide it with that trailer, probably because kids will say, hey, can I watch this? Let's watch the trailer. Oh, it looks okay to me. And then, bam, you get them in there, and it's just filth. I mean, it's just nonsense, the stuff that they put in there. Anything with Mindy Kaling, for me, other than The Office, the U.S. Office, that was anything that she's in from now till from then is trash. Because she's, like, one of the most woke people in Hollywood when it comes to this. If you know, if she's in a show, it's going to be super woke and super stupid.
Well, and it's funny, now that The Office is more than gone, there's been a lot. She was not only in The Office, she was also a writer. She was a writer for the show. And there was reportedly a lot of issues with her and the writing staff. If you go back and watch The Office now, there are some jokes today that would not be allowed. Some of the things that Michael and some of the jokes that he makes and the whole things between him, Dwight, and Jim are not even fathomable on television now. So they sit on reruns on Comedy Central. But if you go back and look, there are a lot of reports of her being very, very annoying in writing sessions and things of that nature because she was trying to, you know, anchor in this wokeness right off the start.
Yep. Yeah, and so, that's for me, that was an instant turnoff because I knew it was going to be bad. And so if you look, as you said, IMDb, the lowest one ever. I mean, it would
excuse
say,
me.
What was the score again? 1.3.
It's now the second lowest.
Okay, so it's gone up a little bit.
It's up 2. Yes.
Well, it's at 1.3 right now.
It's up 2. It's up 2 spots, I should say.
Oh, okay. The lowest ever. Okay.
Yeah. And, it's got a lot of reviews. It's got 48,000 reviews.
Yeah.
48,000 reviews.
And so if you want to put yourself to sleep or make yourself frustrated where you can't sleep, just go watch an episode of it and see what you think. Because it's pretty stupid. Yeah. Okay, so this is something where this on their side, it's failing miserably. This is super woke, pushing, you know, queerness and everything else with high schoolers, because you got to remember these are all high schoolers in the show. And let's go to something that is now, of course, we're not supposed to like, kind of tied to the whole limited run games thing. Hogwarts Legacy. My background here is Hogwarts Legacy. You've got gaming boards that are not allowing you to even mention the game in their forums.
What?
You will get banned. Instantly, yes. So there's multiple reset era. There's a number of them that if you mention Hogwarts Legacy in their forums, they will ban you.
Oh my
god! Not allowed
god.
To mention the game.
These people are communists, Brian. I mean, I don't throw on that word.
I told you, if you're not a good comrade, you're out. Like you could say all the other
moly.
Things. You could be wearing the red star. You could be doing all the things. Have all the symbols that you need. But if you want to play Hogwarts Legacy because it looks like an awesome game. I pre-ordered it. I wanted to be part of the numbers, that are positive.
Vote your wallet.
I pre-ordered that. But that's what I say, and I've done it in a lot of areas. I still don't shave with that one shaving company's
Gillette.
Razors.
It's Barbasol.
Yep. I still.
That's why I'm all on the Barbasol train.
So, that's what I've done. Is if I don't agree with them, rather than sitting there and trying to destroy them as a company by doing things that aren't right, I vote with my wallet. And this is an area where, hey, I want to give them a positive uptick because I think that it's a good game and I think you should judge it on its merits. And I don't think that the person who came up with the whole concept of Harry Potter has done anything wrong. So I'll vote with my wallet. And so here we've got all these different places and they say, Here's a quote from Reset Era. They put a statement out about this. After continued internal discussion, we began to start outlining the issues put forth by Rowling and the game in question, and each time as we discussed it, all we kept coming back to is the simple fact that Rowling is not only a bigot, but is actively pushing in her position as a wealthy and famous individual for legislation that will hurt trans people. That she uses the influence and money gained from her success with Harry Potter to push transphobic legislation. So
they missed something here, Brian. They should have said J.K. Rowling is not only a bigot, but a white female actively pushing. Cis white female, yes.
So the mod team has decided to expand our prior ban on promoting for Hogwarts games to include the game itself. There will be no OT and no discussion of this game. So, they are forcing to where they cannot put any links, they cannot discuss. And let's look at.
Here's something interesting though. This article at PC Gamer says Reset Era, one of the largest gaming forums in the world. I had never heard of Reset Era before. Right now.
Well, there's a lot of video game journalists, video game journalists that are a member of this, and they don't talk, they mostly talk politics in it. They don't really talk about video games as much, but they talk about, who to cancel, wokeness, all this stuff in there, but, and this goes totally against all the things. But, where do they think they come up with ideas for Kotaku to write about? Yeah. It's people that browse these forums.
Yeah. Okay.
So I figured, you know, this is weeks before release still. This game is not going to come out for weeks still. Let's look at what they're for PlayStation 5 on Amazon. Let's look at number one selling game, still weeks out, hasn't even been released yet.
By the way,
is the number one selling game for PlayStation 5.
The Deluxe Edition, which is $80 freaking.
Yeah, well, if you're going to be voting through with your wallet, what do you think I got? I got the Deluxe Edition. if you're voting with your wallet, how do you do that?
Look at this. Number five is the regular version. So it's
the
got
regular
five
edition
and
is number
one.
Five. So it's got two positions in here
on the pre-order, the number one pre-order list. Yeah,
pre-orders. Yes. Okay. So that's for the PlayStation 5. Let's take a look at Xbox. Let's see how it's doing with the Xbox.
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on, just real quick. No, this isn't pre-orders. This is all this because this game is out now. So no, this is the entire list of this is the best selling.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, this is best seller. So it can be because it can be release games as well. Sorry,
release
best sellers overall.
Yeah.
So it would be pre-release as well.
All right. So that's PlayStation.
It's overall. So now we've got Xbox, the Deluxe Edition is the number one selling game. On Xbox as well. And it's the number four for the regular edition. Number one and number four overall. So that tells you they're selling some big number.
Call of Duty, Dead Space, WWE, and Halo Infinite. These are very popular games that this is with.
Yes. Okay, and let's look at Lance. He wants to know, what about PC? So Steam. Let's look at the top-selling game. It is they must be doing something to get the to compete against this. Earlier today, it was the top-selling game. The Steam Deck was number one, and then Hogwarts Legacy was number two.
Apex is free, Apex
is free to play. I'm sure you've got you probably have people that are mass creating Steam accounts and then adding Apex to it. I just have a feeling they're probably pulling some stupid tricks to be able to try to pull the top position of the
game.
It's
the number one paid game on Steam.
Number one paid game, and it's still pre-order. And that's a $60 title.
Jeez.
So, Hogwarts Legacy. I did put a trailer. I don't know if you want to play the trailer at all.
I'll play it while we talk.
It looks like a beautiful game. I'm excited for it. It's supposed to be huge. It's taking advantage of a lot of the latest technology. It's supposed to be beautiful. It should be a lot of fun. I'll actually play this. I haven't played a game through for a while because I've been so busy, but I'm going to take some time and actually play this one. And
give
an honest review of how good it is.
Don't you just love the left's always that there always is this attempt to attempt to try and cancel everything. And sometimes it's successful. But other times, it is so woefully unsuccessful. It's such a woeful failure. And I presume this Harry Potter game is going to be the same thing. This game is going to be so successful, and their whole boycott, their whole push, whatever, is just a fail. Just a complete and total fail.
Yeah, and the thing is, I love exploring, and this is going to have, it's supposed to be a huge open world. It's marking all the boxes for people for a game that's going to be a lot of fun. People are going to enjoy it. It's a lore, a story that people know and love. You know, you've got a big community of people that really enjoy the Harry Potter series. And they're not just retelling the original story. This is one where it's like, you know, write your own story in Harry Potter or in Hogwarts and all this. So it's going to be a totally different story where you're doing all your own stuff in the same world. So it's going to be a fun thing. You're not really going to know what's coming up. And I'm excited for it just because I love the idea that the things that we keep on saying, cause they will go to all ends to try to make you convinced that everyone else doesn't think like you, that you're the minority in thought, right? That you're the one, everyone else thinks this. And then why would you think that, but when it comes down to it, there's some things they can't hide. They can't hide the fact that it's the number one selling game. On Xbox Store, try to find it. If you browse the Xbox Store for this, you don't see it anywhere on the recommended, the first page, anything. Because I was looking for it, and I had to search for it. You want to know where it is listed? Trending. And they don't even let it sit at the first spot on trending. They make it sit at like number 5 on trending. And it's only because I purchased it and I do a search and then it shows you on trending what the trending list is above that. And then there was the only place I saw Hogwarts Legacy under otherwise from where I searched. They are not even letting it show up as a thing to promote to you on the place on the Microsoft Place or Xbox Store, and it's the number one selling game on both those platforms. Pretty sad.
You know what's crazy is the physical edition is out of stock on Amazon, so you can't even pre-order the physical edition, but you can the digital. That's for the Xbox Series X. There, you can still pre-order for the Nintendo Switch. The PlayStation 4, you can still pre-order for. And the PlayStation 5 is out of stock as well.
Yep. And Lance is asking, you know, what are you going to be playing it on? I'm going to be playing on Xbox Series X. They're having it to where the Xbox Series X is going to be released first. Later, they're going to be releasing it for the Xbox Ones. And then after that, they're going to be releasing it on the Switch, which is going to be crazy to see how they get the thing
comes out
tuned down
in July on the Switch. Comes out a long time on the Switch.
Yeah, so you know, people probably will buy it for both. Pretty cool though that they're going to be releasing it on all those different platforms, and it'll be interesting to see how much, because I really feel like I haven't gotten my full money's worth out of my Xbox Series X, because it doesn't seem like the games ever are doing something that's super cool or pushing the limits. Maybe this is the one that's finally going to do that and show me what the hardware actually looks like.
Yeah. I just mentioned in chat, I will be the first to admit I've never seen a Harry Potter movie or read any of the books. So that is, I mean, I've seen them in passing, like, you know, they've been on or whatever, but I hope this is a rave success. I really do.
Well, and I've watched all the movies. I've read all the books. It's a really, really well written. You know, if you have time to read, not everybody has time to read, get the audiobook of it. It's really good as well. If you're driving and have time to listen while you're driving, they have excellent audiobooks. And then that way you can get the story. But it's very well written. I thought the books were better than the movies, which usually is the case for things. But she's an excellent writer. And the thing is they hate her because she's a feminist. And when she says feminist, she says, they hate her because she's a true feminist.
Yes.
She's a feminist supporting women's rights. And when you have a biological male coming in, and that's the problem, is she clarified biological women's rights, because she didn't agree with men coming in that now identify as a male or as a female coming in and saying, well, hey, look, I'm standing up. Just like, did you see the lady who's I'm giving her preferred pronoun that now owns Miss America. Was it Miss America or Miss Universe or whatever?
It's Miss America. I saw it. Yeah.
Okay. So you look, and this person, it's a biological male who's talking about women's rights, you know, and it's like, okay, so you're a biological male talking about empowering women and women's rights, as she said. If I were a woman, I would feel like that is a slap in the face. You're even taking away Miss Universe or Miss America or whatever it was. You're taking that away from women, to where now you're having biological males with beards competing in it. Because one of them had a beard, and they were competing in Miss Universe or whatever it was.
And Brian,
it's just insanity.
You and I are the ones that are out of touch.
Yeah, I know.
We're the ones that don't. We're the ones that don't get it. We're the ones that are abnormal in this whole thing somehow.
Yeah, and well, hopefully, as the companies need to wake up, just like Limited Run Games is waking up to the fact that people don't think like that founder of Pony, whatever, the Pony Con or whatever it is.
Some pedo con.
Yeah, whatever that is. Like, they cater to the one person and took that lady's job.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's. So this is an update on a story. I don't know. It looks like National Review removed their article for some reason. But this was a lady who.
Yeah, that was up by her earlier today. Oh no, it shows for me.
Interesting.
Not showing for you.
Yeah, it says page not found. That's weird. It's interesting that you've got a. So you had this individual by the name of Carolyn that worked for a group called Limited Run Games based in Raleigh, North Carolina. They made exactly what they sound like, Limited Run Games. They take, people, there's still active 8-bit and 16-bit development going on. Got these hobbyist groups that making games. This group would literally license them and make physical copies of them. Really cool concept. Small batch. That's what they did. So she had this person, Carolyn, had the audacity, Brian, to like and follow individuals on Twitter like Libs of TikTok. And because she followed such a, by the way, one of the most popular Twitter accounts in the world right now, follows their account on Twitter, and people like Dave Rubin, who's gay, and others in the more conservative industry. She was literally terminated from her job. She released a long statement this week on a Twitlong going over some of the details about it. I'm not going to read through it because there's a lot on here, but she just describes, and I sent her an email before we got on the air. It just describes a situation where, like, nobody would respond to her. Nobody would respond to her messages. Her manager, her boss wouldn't respond to her all day until at 4:30 they called her and fired her. And it was just, again, all over the fact that she liked a Twitter account and followed it. Yep. That was it. That was her crime against humanity. Was following a Twitter account.
And that's the thing, is one person that made a statement and made some accusation that this person's transphobic, because the person said just a statement about having biological males in the bathroom with the small female children. Just that is a concern. And that was enough, which, hey, that person from PonyCon should be sensitive to that, because they were involved in a scandal of pedophilia with their employees at those cons. Maybe they should be a little, say, hey, well, that's a possibility. We should be concerned about that. Let's take some things to make sure that doesn't happen. Instead, they attack them because they want to have small children with these men. And there you go. This is where it ends up going. She does say, some of the things that we said, North Carolina is an at-will state. They had the right to fire her. So if they don't agree. But the thing is, the response to her being fired, I think, is exactly what should have happened. Them as a company is being hammered. Whether if they go out of business, that is the statement, right? That they will show to the other companies, when you bend to the minority fake mob that's out there that just yells the loudest but really isn't the voice of the people, you risk being put out of business. Look at Velma. Velma sits there and it's propped up. This is a great show by all these fake medias that are trying to push some sort of propaganda and agenda. But that's not what people think. And they're showing it. People, you can't hide it with some of these ratings. They can't make it, to where it's not obvious. Hogwarts, the Hogwarts Legacy. They can say, oh, that's a horrible game. That person's so hateful. You're not supposed to like any of this. But they can't hide the numbers. Show support by, for instance, not buying anything from Limited Run Games, unless they make a major change, apologize, and say, hey, we're sorry, we overreacted, we shouldn't have done this. If they can come back and make amends and own up to the fact that they shouldn't have done what they did, and that everyone is open to their own opinion on matters, and quit saying that words are violence, because that's the thing, I've said it a long time ago. This is why they go to such extremes to silence people, is because they believe words are violence. And when you say something that I find hurtful, that's the same as violence. Therefore, I can come at you with a response that is an equal response to violence.
I've got what you're looking for. So I just pulled, while you were talking, I just pulled this tweet up. This is their most recent tweet. It was out today, a couple hours ago, 3:29 p.m. Eastern, about some some new game that they're coming out with. This post has 35 likes. If you scroll down and look at the replies, this guy, John DeBomb86, comments, not buying anymore. Hope it was worth firing your employee. This subtweet has 48 likes. It's got 12 more likes than the original post of them talking about the game. And look at Brian's cousin, Barry Aldridge, is commenting on this one. He's undecided if he's interested in buying it. Yeah, I'm a big fan. So obviously Brian's family is all in on this. But this is the example right here. This guy comments, nope, 24 likes. Limited Run Games did the right thing, whoever this jackass is. Nothing here. Oh, look, who grew a backbone and turned on the comments back on. Not good enough. 38 likes on this. So everything, 40 likes on a tweet that says dead company. That is, that goes to show you that people are, well, it doesn't show, it shows you, proves that people are clicking on the post and just looking at the comments and then sub-liking those tweets. That is called, Brian, what we call in the industry, being ratioed. And that is exactly what that is. You're being ratioed on.
Yep, and continue doing it, right? Show them that...
Yeah, I got to go like all those tweets,
I'm going to go check it out here a little bit later. You know, that's the thing is show them that you don't approve. Because the problem is we've been silent for so long. And because if you said anything, I mean, just look at the response of what used to happen on Twitter. Why do you think I left Twitter for so long? I could not voice my opinion. I wasn't allowed to voice my opinion on things that were commonplace thoughts and ideas. And now, if you look at all the Twitter files and everything that was released, it shows that they were improperly silencing people, the majority of the people, and making it look like the people with the smallest voice had the biggest voice by only letting them speak. And then people thought, well, no one else thinks like me. That's their goal, is to make you think you're the only one who thinks this. And so they try to silence you. So don't let them do it. You know, that's the beauty of Twitter now, is you can actually go on there and say whatever your opinion is, as long as you're not threatening anybody and, you know, to certain degrees, you can go say your opinion now. And people love it. You know, I've seen more engagement on Twitter than I ever saw before from people, because people can actually give their opinion now without being shadow banned or banned altogether. So this is Limited Run Games. Do we want to end really quickly on something, you know, how we're going to help climate change, or where do you want to go with this?
Yeah, we have to talk about this. This was sent in by a good friend of the program, Landgun. He sent me this link earlier this week. And Brian, I work in the media space. I comment on the news and other things for 3 hours a day, every day. So I'm used to ridiculous, stupid, nonsensical headlines. It's literally a segment of my show where I look at Washington Post and MSNBC headlines and, you know, New York Times headlines. And they're just always just so ridiculous. Like that one, Polygon article, like stuff like that on almost a daily basis, because you read these headlines and you don't even need to go into the story. So I got sent this headline. It's over at The Blaze, which is Glenn Beck's media company. That's a whole other bag of worms. Here's the headline.
Part of the big con.
Part of big con, which they actually are. Xbox will force gamers to power down to fight climate change, touting them as the first, quote, carbon-aware console. Your reaction?
Hardware that just I supposedly own. First of all, I thought I bought this device, and they're not paying for my power bill. I am paying for my power bill.
Correct.
And what if I run off of solar panels? Are they saving any carbon if I'm running all my house off of solar panels? Who are they saving? Why can't I choose? Here's the thing. Reading down into the fine print, they're changing the default setting on all of the currently running systems to power off instead. Bad choice. Why not make it for all new devices that are sold? Have that be the default device, and someone has to change it from that. But you're taking settings that people have possibly set and customized and undoing those settings to put the setting that you want them to have on there. That's where my problem is with it. Don't change my default setting. What's your problem with it?
I've got my problem with it is first, and even in this the Ars Technica article, it notes Microsoft is rolling out an update to Xbox consoles that will automatically switch them to power saving shutdown mode instead of the usual energy hungry sleep mode. What pisses me off, why weren't they using this power saving mode from the start? Why have I been paying to why? I don't want if my console's sitting idle, then just to put it in this. Why are they doing this now? I've had an Xbox One for like 10 years. Why are you putting it in power save? I know, but my point is, it would have made my console last longer. It would have saved me money. Why didn't you put it in that originally? Why did you wait a decade to do it? And now you're doing it. And you're trying to save the planet. Why?
The problem is they wanted people to feel like the Xbox was so fast. You know,
it is.
So the thing was. But the thing is, they wanted it to where it started up quick. You push the center button on your console, and boom, you're on the Xbox.
Correct.
With this, you have to wait for it to boot up. And so it's going to take a while, because it actually takes this for the Xbox Series X. It takes a while for these new devices to boot up. Like, it takes a while. So yeah. Now there's going to be a lot of people who will be like, what's wrong with my Xbox? They're pushing the button. They're waiting. The thing's, you know, not coming on quite yet. And then they're having to sit and watch a screen that they're not used to. There's going to probably be a lot of calls to their support. Now, this is something that you can go in and customize. You've been able to make it do this, but you know they don't ask you these questions when you're setting it up. Have it be a part of the menu. Would you like to do this or this when you're originally setting up your console? That's what they should do. Don't force people now. I mean, don't change their setting that they've already set. Maybe pop up something saying, hey, we have a new recommended setting. Would you be interested in doing this? And let me do it myself. Don't change it for me and then make me go in and undo your change. That's the frustrating part for me. I don't want you doing it for me. Pop up something and let me change it. Or say, hey, we got this new feature. Go in and change it if you want.
Yeah, this is corporate virtue signaling and gaslighting at the highest of levels, and really disappointing from Xbox and Microsoft. Grizz is saying on the YouTube chat, where they get the COBOL and other materials for their hardware is way worse than how much electricity they use. Of course, but when you're talking about being carbon friendly and carbon neutral and good for the environment. Not for gave you a great example. The World Economic Forum this past week, when all of the puppet masters like Charles Schwab and the rest of these scumbag elitists, they talked about climate change for an entire week. There were over 1,700 private jets that landed at the airport in Davos, Sweden, for this event. The average private jet burns more fossil fuels in an hour then you have your carbon footprint your entire freaking life.
Yep.
And that your entire life.
Rules for thee, but not for me.
Not for me.
You gotta learn this. And that's the crazy thing is you look at some of these things. If you buy anything that's shipped over from China and you think and it has on there stamped, you know, carbon friendly or anything like that, then you're clearly not aware of what happens in China. The fact that we moved away from made in America means that you took away the option to really be picky about your carbon footprint. Having everything outsourced to China or to the equivalent of third world countries to manufacture your products who don't follow any of our manufacturing standards, they set the rules here so strict that they ran all of these companies out of the country to where they went to places that didn't have as many rules and the cost of production was cheaper. And then all these people who say that they're fighting for, you know, having better care of the environment, then go and purchase all these products and love having the cheaper iPhone and love having the cheaper devices. But they're buying them from a country that's just polluting. You know, I've talked about before the whole scam of recycling. It's all the same type of concept. As long as it's not happening in my backyard is all they care about. You know, if don't be doing any waste, because if we brought all this manufacturing back to America, it would be 10 times or more cleaner than it is over there. It'd be way better. Things would be built better. They're running into a problem over in China is that skill level of the employees is getting super low compared to some of these other countries, to where it's becoming a big problem. Like, they are hiring so many people, but they don't have these technical skills. They have very basic skills to run certain equipment, but if you want something done, like if we brought some of these things back to America, you would have devices that are built better that would last longer. They wouldn't be as dangerous for the environment. It's funny that they sit here and preach one thing, but they don't live it. If you really cared, you'd actually look at, well, what's it take to make this thing that I'm buying? Go in and produce some of your own food. Go in and look at the manufacturing impact of whatever device you're buying. If you really cared, you would. But you know what? As long as they make it over there and the pollution stays on that half of the country, or the world, I mean, then who cares? That's what it really comes down to in their world.
Yeah, and I think that's what my immediate reaction, my vitriolic reaction to all of this stuff is based on what you just mentioned. It's this, you know, we're going to care about the environment in this one little sliver of thing, power saving mode, but we are just going to give the middle finger to the rest of it. Here's a hot take for you, Brian. I care about the environment. I want clean air and clean drinking water for me and my friends and my family. But I'll be damned if I'm going to sit here and act as if I'm some freaking hero and some savior while I'm walking around with my iPhone, you know, in my Chinese made Ray-Ban or wherever the hell these things are made sunglasses, and buying crap on Amazon and from Walmart, which I do. I'll fully admit it. But I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm the second coming and make all these comments about how great I am, or fly my private jet to Davos, Switzerland, like Al Gore did, to talk about climate change. It's just, it's lunacy. It's completely and totally asinine. So thank God for, you know, I've been the biggest Microsoft shill on this program for years. I've taken a lot of crap for it. This one hurts. This one hurts right here, Brian. So hurts right here.
Well, and we'll see what happens. I mean, at least they gave you the option to go back and change your setting again.
Well, for sure.
What would have really sucked is if they forced this option of this is the new, like, you cannot undo. If it sits long enough, it's powering down. You cannot undo that setting. But they did put it to where you can. It's just going to be your average person who doesn't know anything about this stuff is not going to know to go in and change it. It'll be changed. Their Xbox will act different from then on. They won't realize that, oh, I can go in and do this thing. Yeah. That's your average person. Not everybody is goes into the setting. The first thing I do whenever I get any devices, I go into the settings to see what I can do. Right.
Most you're also a nerd. Yeah.
I'm a nerd. Yeah. And I accept that and acknowledge it. Yes.
All right. Well, Brian, another banger of an episode here. Where can folks find you online?
Well, if you want to find me on Twitter at Boise Computer, or you can get me at Brian Aldridge on Gab, Parler, Getter, and Truth Social. Of course, if you check out my blog, biteoftech.com, or if you go to our website, infectionpodcast.com, you go to the upper right-hand side and join our server on Discord. If you do that, there's a news channel in there. If you want to post some links to articles or things that you think would be relevant for the show, you're more than welcome to do that. We also got 11 ARC servers running, all different maps, all connected together. We've got a Conan Exiles server running that you can go check out. Also have a lot of different channels and rooms. If you are going to join for ARC, make sure you mention it when you join the server, and I'll give you the ARC tag so you can see all the sub channels that are there. If you want to watch the live show, you can do that on Twitch or YouTube. And if you want to listen, that is recorded and uploaded after the show is completed. And that's all at the lower right-hand side. A lot of different platforms, devices that you can listen to the show on. And if you are listening, that means that the show notes for that particular episode are already uploaded to the website. Just click on that particular episode. There's a video audio player built into the page. Also links for all the different things that we discussed throughout the show. Sometimes it's videos, maybe source material for something that we're referring to, but very helpful if you're looking for a little extra information or just to see where we got some of the topics that we're discussing. If you want to support us, you can do that through the support option up top or infectionpodcast.com/support.
Yes, sir. Brian, thank you much. Thank you very much, as always. Looking forward to some of our new rollouts and changes over the next couple of weeks as we do our little rebranding effort here to move forward into some of this stuff that we're talking about, some of these bigger conversations on the program. So phenomenal stuff And Grizz is saying, sorry, guys, I know this is primarily a gaming podcast, but my blood gets boiling. Well, stay tuned because we're making a shift here to get more into this stuff because it needs to be exposed. You mentioned this idea of pulling the curtain back, right, from the Wizard of Oz. That needs to be done in this industry, in the tech industry, and everything else. So we're gonna be part of leading the charge on that. So Brian, as always, greatly appreciated. We'll catch up with you next week.
Talk to you later.
Alrighty, folks, that's gonna do it. If you want to check me out, my day job, you can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. You can also visit my website, nickcraig.com, as well, where you can check out the Wilmington's Morning News Podcast. That's going to do it for another episode of Infection. If you missed any portion of the program, maybe you want to check out the IMDb ratings for Velma's new show. Head on over to our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.